The gas and oil have drilled several local wells here that have hit pretty good, and them alone have brought in a lot of customers to us.
Gerard's speech focused on the energy industry's bond with the U.S. economy. He told the audience at the museum in Washington, D.C., that the U.S. relies on the industry for billions in tax revenue and millions of jobs. Citing an economic study prepared by energy consulting firm Wood Mackenzie, Gerard called for two things today. One was expansion of oil and gas exploration in areas in the U.S., namely the Gulf.
We oppose the recent decision by the Department of Interior to delay the next year 5-year plan process for offshore leasing. The placing of large areas of domestic oil and natural gas off limits, and the slow pace of permitting, both onshore and off, in areas where exploration and production are allowed.
The other was curbing tax increases on the industry. He said raising taxes would inhibit job growth and negatively impact tax revenue in the long run.
An additional $5 billion in new annual taxes, as proposed by some in the administration and some in Congress, could actually decrease cumulative government revenue by $128 billion by 2025.
Gerard's comments come a day after the Obama administration announced it will allow 13 oil companies to resume deepwater drilling on previously drilled wells without any environmental review. Gerard said today the announcement is good news, but it's not enough.
It only answers that one question. The thing to really keep your eye on is how many deepwater gold permits have been issued, and the answer is none today.
He said environmental concerns like climate change and the potential for a repeat of the BP oil disaster should take a back seat to job creation.
I think the administration, the Congress, should be focused clearly in a laser-like way on job creation. Energy is the potential to create a huge number of new American jobs.
Environmentalists are skeptical. Darden Rice, Florida director of the Gulf Restoration Network, said the oil lobby is trying to quash all other points of view in the drilling debate.
Well, these energy front groups come on very, very strong and over the top with their pro-jobs, pro-economic arguments, and just absolutely take up all the air in the room for anyone who tries to bring up a counterpoint of view, whether it's based on, you know, looking at reasonable reform of their industry, looking at reasonable fines for the laws that they have broken and how they have impacted our environmental laws, our public health laws. And it's really part of their strategy to, I think, come on very, very strong and to give the congressional representatives who are in their camp or who are on the fence, it gives these congressional people cover to basically vote against the public interest.
She said in 2009, the American Petroleum Institute even went so far as to stage pseudo-grassroots rallies to drum up opposition to cap-and-trade legislation.
This was to give the perception that there was ordinary citizen support for pro-drilling, anti-climate change agenda. But it was discovered that these so-called rallies were mostly energy industry lobbyists, and they were mostly energy industry lobbyists dressed in citizen drag.
Rice said the Sunshine State, which currently does not allow drilling in its waters, relies heavily on clean beaches that attract tourists.
But of course, you know, when you look at the bigger picture and you look at the threat to Florida in particular, we do not have a state income tax. We rely on our $60 billion tourism economy. In Florida, the more and more that you look at the arguments for jobs and offshore oil drilling, it's a very weak argument.
She said Louisiana serves as an example of the oil industry's potential impact on a state coastline, as well as the industry's ability to influence elected officials.
Despite the fact that 40-60% of Louisiana's wetlands destruction are directly linked to oil and gas activities, no elected official has had the courage to stand up and ask the oil and gas industry to pay for that destruction.
Rice said the API has spent millions of dollars trying to influence drilling policy.
The American Petroleum Institute has spent a little over $3 million a year lobbying since 2005. And you look at Congressman John Mica, who is one of the oil industry's strongest supporters in Florida, has even asked our state legislature to allow for drilling within 3 miles of the coast. So this is a very powerful group. It has very deep pockets, and they're willing to do anything and say anything to stop reasonable, responsible, common sense laws to protect the public from the most risky elements of offshore oil drilling.